You know, as we are preparing for the church plant in Simi Valley, I'm thinking of all the things that we need. And I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful to have a team? And let me tell you something, a team's wonderful, but you need God more than you need
Amen.
The team.
Amen.
We think about a building. What are we going to do? We have no idea where we're going to meet. Really, what's available in town? We just happened to show up in Simi Valley when there were three churches all planting themselves in the same two-week cycle. And so every little building that may have been available was being snatched up very quickly. And so you kind of stress a little bit about a building. And God, what are you going to provide for us? There were three hotels on the side of town that I was focusing on. And every one of those hotels had a church plant in that two-week span. Listen, our greatest need is not a building. It's not even our missionary support. It's not the resources to launch. And I realize that, $50,000 would be an awesome thing to have in your hip pocket to go plant a church. But the reality is most of us don't get that. I was going back and forth with my son. We were started out of Ambassador Baptist Church. And it just so happened he was relocating at the same time we were planting a church. And so I said, all right, son, where's the money? We need to get this thing going. And he says, Dad, I don't know how to tell you this, but we sold a property and it fell out of escrow. And I've already put $30,000 down on the new property. And I said, well, I've got a credit card, but you owe me. And we started Crown Point Baptist Church on a budget of about $7,500. Now, that's not our personal support. That's just what it takes to get a church started. But let me tell you something. It doesn't take $50,000. It just takes God showing up. And if you have God, you have everything, right? So don't worry about the team, or it's nice to have it, or the building, or all those other things. Even a congregation itself. Church planning, you're going in without even knowing if someone's going to show up on that first Sunday. And yet God is faithful. If you have God, you have everything. So the church planter's greatest provision is God Himself. He's our strength. He's our shield. He's our sufficiency. He's our satisfaction. He's all we need. And as a church planter, you better get a hold of that reality. I need God. He is my provision. And He is able. So not only do we see the church planter's greatest provision is God Himself, but we see the church planter's precious promise. And that's the very next phrase. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Now that verse means something to Brother Lamb this morning. I saw him out in the parking lot. He looked like he was elevating. You know, just walking about 2 feet higher than I've seen him in the past, because he's rejoicing at what God has done. See, Brother Lamb, when he came, had a passion in his heart, and that was not just to plant a church, but to plant a church that would plant churches. And he just begged God, God, do that. Give us something whereby we might be able to be established so that we can be a ascending church. And that, God, you could use us to accomplish that. The church planter's precious promise, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. He is. He promises here to us that if he's the provision, he can do anything. And oh, that God would help us to see that. I want to give our little story here. When Dr. Chappell asked me to share here a few moments, we had no idea where we would be. We were still in a hotel room, and we were just looking at a church building. This is a smaller black church in town. About an acre and a half. They really had dwindled in their congregation. The auditorium was maybe a 100-seat auditorium. But for us, we're at a hotel. And we're just looking, Lord, what else do you have for us? And so I had an architect come on in and a builder come on in. He said, well, if we move this wall out, maybe we can seat 150 in here. Make a long story short here, this 18,000-square-foot building, they wanted $10,000. $1.25 a square foot. Pray for these guys in Southern California. Some of you guys are just, I just saw your eyes get really big. And $10,000. We were convinced that was too much. We came back with an offer of about a third less. And I told the broker, we believe God's going to open a door, close a door. It's going to be this price, or that's fine. We're just going to wait. And she came back and she said, they're not even going to count her because they want $10,000 for that property. Well, we were here on campus with a luncheon with Dr. Chappell, and we're walking through the new building and sharing with Brother Chappell, I'm waiting to hear from this offer that we made this week. And he started sharing a story about a man he met, Brother Dean Rasmussen, in Simi Valley, in the Seattle airport, on the way to China. And God used Dr. Chappell to just strike up this conversation. And before long, Dean Rasmussen said, do you know somebody in Simi Valley that needs a church building? And gave my information here. I called their offices, and I looked at this building, and I'm going to be really honest with you. My son and I had walked through this property last summer, and I already knew how massive this property was. It's kind of one of those things as a church planner, you go, yeah, that'd be awesome, but you kind of put it in the back of your head. You don't even want to think about it. And so we went ahead and met with them and took our first walk through the building and appreciate so much Dave, who's with us right here. Dave, by the way, just was baptized in February in the United Methodist Church for 50 years. Isn't that something? And boy, he's kind of the right hand as a lay leader. But we walked through this building the first time. We're just absolutely stunned. Wow. How in the world are we going to have the resources to try to make that kind of a move from the hotel? Brother Azzarello is an architect, and I called him on the phone. And I said, can you come on Sunday? I'd love for you to walk through this building. Tell me what your thoughts are. And, of course, the whole building is really big. We were focusing on just the auditorium, which is still really big, 14,000 square feet. But as Azzarello came in, he looked around. He said, Brother Ermler, it'll cost you about $250,000 to do what you want to do with it. And that's basically shrink that massive auditorium down, build classrooms and offices. And I'm going, wow, well, maybe we ought to look at another portion of the building. We did. We went to the other half, which is all under the conditional use permit. Took a chunk out of about 9,000 square feet. That's the comfort zone for church planners. You know, if I get that first building, and so we're looking at it. They're offering it this, and they're putting this out. They're marketing that as a piece. And they came back and shot us down and said, no, we're not going to let you have that. And I said, well, why do you have it up for lease if you're not willing to let us have it? And he said, because we only want one church in that building. We think you're the church, and we want you over in the auditorium. And so at that time, we're just, okay, let's go on back and take another look at it. And how are we going to come up with $250,000? And Lord, you're our provision. And you promised that you're going to do exceedingly abundantly above. That's not my word, that's his word. And so as we're looking at that, we preached a message, a leap of faith on a Sunday, had a unanimous vote by our church folks to go on forward and lease that property. Let me tell you something. We have half the funds monthly to make the payment that we're going to start here in September. And I don't know what God's doing. It is an absolute leap of faith. I mean, it's just something here that I look at in my own strength. I'd say, why in the world, Lord, what's going on? But then God started to do some pretty amazing things. That was on Sunday. On Monday, we went ahead and signed this lease to move forward. On Tuesday, we met with the existing pastor and staff, and I had kind of thrown out a little request, and I said, listen, you're going to a brand new building. If you have any furnishings that are used, if you wouldn't mind giving us the first opportunity to purchase those from you, we sure would appreciate that. Dave was in that room with me. We're standing almost in tears because the pastor says, by the way, we're giving you all the equipment. We need the sound system, right? But the rest of it, it's yours. And so we're standing there saying, God, what do you have for us? What are you doing? But he began just to give us items, all the auditorium chairs. And I can't even read that little writing back there, but you can read it up here. This is all what they just said. It's yours. Just take it. Just take it. We believe God wants us to give it to you. And then we negotiated with him for the sound system. And we bought the sound system as well. So it's really turnkey. And we're walking right into a building that only God could provide. Well, there's more than just 14,000 square feet. There's actually a total of 26,000 square feet. And since that 250,000 wasn't, you know, something that we're going to have anytime soon, as far as I knew, God put it on my heart to just say, well, why don't you ask him to let you use a couple classrooms? That is a great auditorium space, but I'm going to be honest with you. It only has two small rooms. It has this little prayer room off the foyer. It has a little cry room in the back. Our entire children's ministry would be in those two. And then you got this big auditorium. So I'm asking God for some additional room. And it does have restrooms. We thank the Lord for that. But you do have a call out to the broker, told him what was going on. The broker said, I'll ask the owner group. The owner group there on Thursday during our prayer meeting, I'm sharing all that the church gave to us that week. And I get a text during the prayer meeting, and I had to interrupt the folks, and I had to say, listen, I've got to share something else with you. God did it again. They're wanting us to take some rooms at $1 a month. And I'm just, my mind is now going, and I'm saying rooms. Is that the two I asked for? Or maybe it's the whole hallway that has six rooms. And I couldn't wait to meet with the brokers the next day. And as I got there, he said, I got some good news for you, Pastor. The owner group has decided that they're going to go ahead and give you the entire section of 12,000 square feet. I've counted 30 rooms between offices and classrooms and four nurseries. And I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And I said, now, how much are we paying for this? He says, well, it'll be $1 a month. And okay, praise the Lord. And so God continues to do what only God can do. He makes promises to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. This is that wing where the children are at the, you know, some of the nurseries. By the way, they've given us some of this equipment as well, children's church rooms. We had a banquet following this up, and our own church people have stepped up now and have given almost $25,000 that night. And we're going to come in with new carpeting in the auditorium. We have some other needs. We bought the sound system back and whatnot. But let me tell you, church planning, when the focus is God, and you understand that God's able, and you trust him, it gets real exciting. So this is our church planner's greatest provision, the church planner's precious promise. We go on here to see the importance of prayer, the church planter's need of prayer. We have not because we ask not. If you had to get Brother Lamb aside, you'd find out if you dug deep enough that this has been a major prayer on his heart. I mean, for the last year. When he came to town, he was in that building, looked at that building, prayed over that building, talked to the man that was in the building, prayed some more. Let me tell you, we need prayer. Prayer is our humbling ourselves before God, realizing I don't have an ability to touch someone's heart, touch someone's mind, cause them to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. But God can. And oh, how we need to go to prayer. We have not, men, because we ask not. And oh, that God would just help us to open our mouth wide and ask. He delights in that. He's desiring for us to recognize it. You know, our theme this week, I Will Build My Church, how that first point where he is our provision, let's just think, it's him. I will. It's all about God. When we think of his promise and we think of his listening to the prayer of his people, we recognize that he and he alone is the one that also is going to provide the power to accomplish it. The church planter's source of power, of course, is God himself, according to the power that worketh in us. Guys, anything wonderful that happens in a church plant is really God. You take credit for all the things that don't go so well. But oh, how we need to honor him for his power. You know, the couple of verses just prior here to verse 20 and 21 talk to us about the Holy Spirit and being strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. It's God's Holy Spirit that wants so much to see the Lord's church built. And it's that power that we're relying on. The Bible goes on and talks to us about the indwelling of Christ. And it talks about the fullness of God. And we have the whole Trinity here that we're reminded of. It is God's power. I love the expression of a church planter that comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul says, listen, I planted, Apollos came later, he watered. God gave the increase. Then we got to read the next verse. Neither is he that planteth. Wow. I think sometimes we just get a little bit mixed up, and we take too much of it, what we're doing. And the truth is, the planter is nothing. And the water is nothing. It's God. And boy, God's able to do something through his power as we just recognize that reality. And then we see not only here this awesome power of God according to the power that worketh in us, but I want to close with this because I think it's, although it's last, it's in my mind one of the great important truths for any pastor, for any church planter. The church planter's highest priority: unto him be glory in the church. I've mentioned it's not your church, it's his. But you better understand also why God's doing what he's doing. See, this is the transitional verses between, I mean, two great passages of Scripture. The first three chapters really dealing with the riches I have in Christ Jesus, and the last three chapters really dealing with now what is God desiring for me to accomplish, my responsibilities. And he talks about the walk there in chapter number 4 and the kind of worship we ought to have. And he helps here that early church understand what his will is concerning the family and employment. And then he closes with our warfare. But there is a responsibility that we have based on the resources that God provides for us. But stuck right here in between the two is a reminder. And that reminder is why we do it all. It's all for his glory. It's all for him. And oh, that God would help us. You know, so many verses in the Bible encourage us to always have the glory of God on our heart and on our mind. You know, Ephesians early on in chapter 1, that we should be to the praise of his glory. The word glory is mentioned 5 times in that first chapter. Romans 4 talks to us about being strong in faith, which brings glory to God. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You know, when you believe that God's able to build a church, even in some of the more difficult places, Vancouver, Los Angeles, I heard New York, and sometimes we look at these areas and we say, well, how in the world are we going to ever have, and then we don't go. I heard a college president, not this one, but I heard a college president discourage someone from thinking about California because they'd never have a property and never have buildings. Last time I checked, the church is not brick and mortar. And God can build a church absolutely anywhere. And oh, that we would just recognize if it's for his glory, he's all in. He's all in. How about being thankful for God's blessing? The lepers won. The Samaritan returned. And the Bible says there in Luke 17, there are not found that return to give glory to God save the stranger. See, when I'm grateful for what God does, he gets glory in that. When I praise him, according to Psalm 50, whosoever praiseth glorifieth me. When we recognize that this is a big God, and he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or that we think, we praise him because he is able. You know, God loves to answer prayer. John 14, 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You know, God got glory when Anchor Baptist Church received an answer to prayer. That's all that took place. It's all about the glory of God. And oh, let's get a hold of it. We can go on and we can talk here about letting our light shine. Why? Before men, that they may see your good works so that God can get glory. Why do I want to bear fruit and tell others about Christ? John 15, 8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. That's why. It's all about His glory. And we can go on and on and on through the Scripture. But let me tell you that until Jesus comes, He's looking for some to just trust Him and to believe that He's able and to yield and to say, I'll go wherever you need for me to be. And He's able to provide. I appreciate having an advantage over a lot of church planters. I had a home church that I'd pastored for a long time, and a son that was not about to throw his mother to the curb. Now, dad maybe, but mom never. And so he took care of us, and other pastors rallied around us, and they've taken care of us. But to the glory of God, at 2 years, we're self-supporting. God's provided everything. Matter of fact, in our second year, there was over $200,000 given to the offering plate. I can say that now that I'm, you know, now that we're self-supporting. That's God. God will do what you just can't even imagine right now. And I want to just challenge you fellas to just recognize whether you're about to go into a church plant or whether you're in the middle of it, it's a privilege. It's a privilege because you have God. And oh, let's just in these last days continue to do what God needs for us to do.